Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. Lots to get to in the noon hour. We'll react a little bit more to what we heard from Thomas Dimitroff coming up at 12:20. Also, 10 more football cards, Randy.
Oh, yeah.
375 more cards to go through.
You know, it's funny that my Auntie Pam, she went ahead and, like, she Googled, she found all the cards from the Topps collection from like, the first 5 years of my career. Yeah. So it's in there. It's in there somewhere.
It might take us 38 and a half days to find it. Well, 38 and a half shows, which would be like, that'd be a lot of weeks of shows. If it's the last card that we pull. Or we'll find it today. You never know. It could be the second card we pull today, the Randy McMichael Dolphins card.
It might be, dog. It's a ragged. I don't like it that much.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, I don't like it that much because I think this is the one I'm in the three-point stance in this one.
You looking like a lineman.
Yeah. Let me see what she's. Let me find it.
You want quick. The ones where you're making catches? Or
yeah,
well,
I like
when
I got
guys.
The ball. When I got the ball and I'm running with it. Hold on, here it is.
I never thought about how players might not like certain cards. Of course.
I'm in a three-point stance, and this is from preseason. And then it looks raggedy because I'm on the left side of the line, and I'm in a right-handed stance. That's before I really got comfortable being in left-handed stance on the left-handed side. Yeah. It got me looking real, real crazy. But so I think this hold on. This is the game that the pitcher's from, though. When I'm flying in the air. This is the picture.
Why didn't they get that damn picture? That's like the greatest picture of all time. You're jumping over those guys from the New Orleans Saints. Is there a card with that picture? Did they make that into a card?
No. Oh, I don't think so.
That's a shame. I mean, somebody did send us a link to the 100 greatest sports photos of all time, and it is on the list. It's one of the 100, and it is. I mean, it's unbelievable that you're doing it. It looks like you're going to hurt yourself so bad. But I never thought about how an athlete would look at a card and not like it. Like, you just analyzed your football card the way Wendy kind of does selfies. Like, she's like, well, the selfie's bad because of this and that, which is brilliant.
Let's not get twisted. It's cool to have a card.
Of course, it's very cool.
It's cool to have one. It's just that picture right there, it just shows how young I was because I'm on the left-handed side of the line and I'm in the right-handed stance. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just you can't tip off like that, man. It's hard to move to your left when you're in the right-handed stance. And if I wasn't as athletic as I am, Andy, then that would be really hard for me. But because I was as athletic as I was, it was easier.
I got a baseball card of me playing for the Mariners.
You got a what?
A baseball card. When I worked in Portland, one of the listeners made me a baseball card. So it's me in a Mariners uniform. So we're kind of the same.
That's cool.
Yeah, we both have cards of our athletic careers, so it's the same thing. Anyway, we'll look at some more cards coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get to some of what Thomas Dimitroff had to say to us as well. Some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt at 12:40, but let's get to the most important audio in the world, the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive. For more info, go to BraxtonAutomotive.com.
So we would obviously have to look at our point system, for example, that we have in place. We do have a diversity and constituency throughout our stadium, so we have to make sure that we look at each individual group, faculty, staff, students, donors, varsity O, parents of athletes, all those different constituencies, media.
Yeah, so that's Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith talking
Dude,
about
that, what would... That's a very, very, very educated answer. He said constituency sometimes.
Yeah, they're down the path as far as figuring out how to have people in their stadium, because the big news-making comment that he had yesterday was that Ohio State has, I guess, models, stadium models, that would allow them somewhere between 20,000 and 50,000 people in their stadium if they followed social distancing protocol. He walked it back a little bit in a tweet this morning, but nonetheless, if they're talking about like the different groups of people that they can have in there and the fact that they have to have a diverse amount of or diverse groups of people in the stadium, they're not just, I mean, this isn't something they started thinking about yesterday. Right. This is a plan that they have in place. And when he starts mentioning some of those different groups, students, we want students in there, that's good, band, whatever. And boosters. We want as many boosters in the stands as possible. And maybe they can even get away with it because, you know, those boxes, like you talk about, those luxury boxes aren't cheap. Mm-hmm. You get them in those booster luxury boxes, that's better social distancing anyway.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they want the money. And let's not get it twisted. They want fans in the stands. They want fans in the stands as much as fans want to be in the stands because they know that generates revenue. But the ultimate thing is to protect the players. I mean, the players are the most important thing. And we talked about it, you know, what about the other people that are going to be there, the groundskeepers and guys like that, scoreboard and referees and all that. Okay, they're important. Don't get it twisted. But the most important thing are the players. You know, see, that's the most important thing is generating the revenue with the play. But you do have to have those other ancillary parts to have the game going because it's hard to play a college football game without referees, you know.
Right.
You know, it's kind of hard. You know, it's kind of hard not to have, a scoreboard operator or good stuff.
Sure.
Grounds crew, chain crew. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of underrated parts of it. But, he's throwing out something like that. And he is, and Brian said it in our pre-show meeting. He is a big voice in the NCAA. He is a big time voice, and people listen when he speaks. You know, as far as around the college landscape. But with all that said, his word doesn't matter as long as the president doesn't approve it. You know,
that's true. The president of Ohio State. Now,
do I think he's more powerful than the president of Ohio State? Hell yeah.
Yeah, he is.
And hold on. And with that being said, Bunk, do you think – no, they wouldn't do that because I was thinking because a lot of these coaches, like Nick Saban is bigger than the president of Alabama. But the Alabama's, you know, them coming back will be donned on the president. Do you think some of the presidents, you know, the little quirky dorks might be like, I'll show him that I'm the boss. I'm not going to come back.
Not at Alabama. Nah. I mean, I could see that at other schools. Absolutely. I could see that at other schools. Well, yeah. Like, I could absolutely envision something like that at a Pac-12 school. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. The University of Washington could do that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm in charge. Like, we got a first-year head coach. We're an upstanding academic university with great medical research facilities. If we come back and play football this fall, we're essentially telling our doctors, because if you watch any of the news, a lot of the models that they're getting are coming from college researchers. I mean, you're getting, this is the new model from Stanford University. This is the new model from the University of Washington Medical Center. If they're playing football and the medical center of the University of Washington is telling them that it's not safe to be back on campus until January, what are you telling the medical center? we don't care what you think. We just want to make money. So, yeah, I could see a president making that decision at a school like that. At Alabama. Not at Georgia.
I don't care who you are, bucko. I'm the head guy in charge here, bud.
How come college presidents wear bow ties so often?
I have no clue, dude. Is that the college president starter kit, a damn bow tie?
A bow tie, a tweed jacket, and like some wool pants that they wear even when it's 95 degrees outside.
Looking like Dean Warmer.
They look like Dean Warmer every single day. It's like it's hot, man. Like, you're the athletic director at the University of Georgia. It is 96 and humid. Why are you wearing a wool bow tie? And sometimes they'll have those little hats on too, like they're going to a baseball game in the 40s. Like, why hasn't the attire of the university president evolved whatsoever?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe some people and I ain't got nothing against bow ties. I used to laugh at people who wore bow ties as a grown man. I used to always make fun of Hugh because I think, you know, there's a certain neck girth that you need for a bow tie, but Hugh pulled it off. You know what I'm saying? I used to pick it, man. I used to pick it damn Taquio all the damn time because Taquio would wear, he would have a bow tie, Andy. He would when we were going road trips, he would have the bow tie, but his bow tie was never tied. You know what I'm saying? It would just, yeah, he would always just wear the bow tie. It would just be draped around his neck because it couldn't fit.
Like the Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra after the show look.
Yeah, that's what. That's how Spike used to rock his bow ties on the road. But I mean, yeah.
You got to order special bow ties when you got a thick neck like that. I mean, he would know.
Yeah, he would know. But here's the thing: when you got thick necks like that, you can't use like the regular tuxedo. You know, when you go to get a tuxedo and they give you the bow tie and it's just a clip, you got to get custom made bow tie. Because, dude, there's no way that a bow tie for me, and I would never wear a bow tie unless it was a tuxedo on a wedding. There's no way in hell I would ever put one on. But, you know, like you can't wear Taquio's tie. He can't wear your shirts. You know,
me?
Taquio
Spike's necktie. Taquio Spike's bow tie would be a belt for me.
Yeah, exactly. So
it would never. Yeah, it would never work. When's the last time you wore a bow tie? By the way, I don't think I've ever worn one in my life. To be honest,
At me and Donna's wedding, that was the last time I wore a bow tie, and I refused to wear it unless, like I said, only way I'll wear a bow tie is if it's at for a wedding. And then I will lobby the hell out of it. Even if it ain't my wedding, I will lobby the hell out of it. Like, man, let's just go with ties. With no ties.
That's what, you know, I did. What I'm ties no, but,
dude,
a bow tie.
But same thing. The reason I had to wear a bow tie, because she won again, Bunk. She won again. And my damn groomsmen, I know y'all out there listening, let me down. Because I said, these cats ain't going for no damn bow ties. And to a damn man, I don't care. It don't bother me. And that's all she needed. And damn it.
You want to hear from Chip Kelly? He's probably never worn a bow tie either.
We've had 8 weeks to work on testing. We've had 8 weeks to kind of go through this. All 50 states are in some version of reopening right now. But what happens over the next 8 weeks, I think, is really what's critical, especially to our sport. And really, we need to be back probably 8 weeks from now. We need to be back by July 20th or so if we're going to open the season on time. And so there's still plenty of time in there. It's just you got to defer to the experts in this.
Yeah. And Chip Kelly's in an interesting position because he's at a school that's a part of the university system that has a big choice to make. Now, the state schools of California, like the, you know, the, I don't know, Cal State Fullerton and those ones have made the decision that they're not going to have on-campus classes through the fall. The UC system is different. UCLA, yes. UC Berkeley, yes. UC San Diego, Santa Barbara, Santa Cruz, all those colleges, they haven't made a decision yet. And obviously their decision is bigger because they've got Power 5 Division I
schools.
Football programs. So, yeah, he's a part of a system that's going to make a really, really big choice because, look, I mean, college football can go on this fall without UCLA and without UC Berkeley, that the world will keep turning. But the Pac-12 is going to take a big punch if those schools are unable to play. So I don't know. He's right. The next 8 weeks, of course, are vital. June 1st is a vital date for a lot of different sports, but the next 8 weeks for college football, because they've got the benefit of time, are massive.
100 days.
Hopefully they can come up with something to get on the field. I think we're all on the same page on that one. So here's a fun audio clip. This is from the John Chuckery show the other night. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Randy, but let's listen to it in its entirety and react to it afterwards.
Okay. My brother from another mother is a Peach County High School graduate, played at the University of Georgia, spent a couple of years, if you will, call it a decade, in the NFL, one Randy McMichael. So tell me, we're trying to figure out, do they have like banners of Randy at Peach County High School? Do they have streets named after him? Are there parades for Randy once a year? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, you got to give me something here about Randy and what goes on.
For a guy to have his dreams and power at Peach County High School, that's not a lot. There's a lot of guys that have ran through that. And for that number five to be, you know, I kind of wanted to come in high school. I was number nine, but we couldn't touch that number five. So for a guy to have his dreams completely retired at a school like that, that says a lot. You know, they got pictures hanging all through the hallways and stuff. So he's a big deal.
Having worked with Randy for years and spent a lot of time, you know, even off air and outside of work with Randy, I can promise you, if you'd have asked Randy for his jersey, he'd have told you, go get your own, son. He wouldn't let you have it, man. I know Randy well, I tell you. He'd have told you to go find another jersey, kid.
That's true.
That's Tyreek McGee, by the way, for everybody who doesn't know. He was on with John Chuckery the other night.
Yeah, that's funny because it's funny because Chuck retexted me before that day before the interview. He's like, "Do you know?" I was like, I actually got to meet his parents for the first time at the Notre Dame game when we were broadcasting live from Grindhouse, and his parents came up there. They listened to the show. They were listening driving up to Atlanta from down there in Peach County, and they were like, "Hey." I looked. I was like, I think I know y'all. They were like, "Yeah, we're Tyreek's parents." I was like, "Oh, okay. How y'all doing? Everything?" That's my first time meeting them, and but I mean, it ain't a big deal, man. I mean, you know,
what's not a big deal?
That my jersey retired.
It's a pretty big deal.
But hold on, the crazy thing is that I did last year. Sergio Allen, kid that he went to Clemson from Fort Riley, from Peach County. He called me. He called, like, Coach Campbell, who's the head coach down there now. First of all, he asked me. He said, a young man down here wants to ask you an important question. Can I give him your number? I'm like, yeah, cool, no problem. So Coach Campbell gives him my number. He calls me, and he's just like, you know, big fan. And I know you ain't a fan, boy. You're so young, you don't remember me. But anyways, and so Coach is telling me.
Put him on the spot.
Coach is telling me how great of a young man this young guy, this man is, and, you know, great family and all these things. And he's epitome of what a Peach County Trojan is and everything. I'm like, okay, cool. Then the kid calls me. He's like, yeah, I just wondered, can I wear your number? And I was like, huh? He was like, yeah, you know, I'm senior year, and I was wondering if I could wear number 5 for this year. And I was like, damn, I didn't realize that nobody wore 5 since he's been retired. So I would basically like, yeah, I mean, from what everybody tells me, I would be honored if you would wear my number. And that was the gist of that conversation. But, yeah, I mean, I was a big deal a little bit.
Tyreek McGee, by the way, undrafted free agent signed by the Rams.
Yeah. Yeah, good for him, man.
He's a good player.
He played well, man. And the thing with I'm trying to think. Who's in – okay, so you got him going to Rams. You got DeMarcus Robinson. He's – Lolo's nephew. Where did he end up signing? Did he go back to the Chiefs?
I don't know. I don't know who Lolo is.
No, Lolo is his uncle, Marcus Robinson.
I don't know who Lolo is. Who's Lolo?
Lolo is DeMarcus is Marcus Robinson, the uncle. That's what they call it. That's a nickname, Lolo.
Oh, okay. Got it. You just started talking about Peach County people like everybody was from Peach County.
I did that. I just sound like everybody know who the hell Lolo is.
Oh, yeah, Lolo, of course. It's Lolo's nephew, obviously. We'll come back. We'll react to some of what Thomas Dimitroff told us in the 11 o'clock hour. We got 10 more football cards from 2003 to go through. Maybe we'll find Randy today. The only way to find out is to stick with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. Is this a kazoo he's playing in this song? I think it is.
Probably so.
Jimi Hendrix was wild. He'd play a
Jimi
kazoo.
Hendrix was that dude. Have you seen that doc on him, man? Jimi was the man.
I don't know if I have yet.
Oh, you got to see it, dude. It's unbelievable. It.
You know where he's from?
Washington?
Beautiful Seattle, Washington. That's right.
Yes.
So we're going to go through 10 more 2003 Topps NFL football cards today. We started yesterday. Went through 10. Didn't find Randy. We're going to, on our quest to find the Randy McMichael card in this box. I bought a box of cards. There's 385 cards in the box. Now there's 375 cards in the box. So the chances of finding Randy are better today than they were yesterday. Originally, we wanted to do it as kind of a contest, but we're not allowed to do contests. Maybe we'll hang on to the card, and then eventually when we see each other again, you can sign it, Randy,
right,
and we could
right.
do that as like a giveaway or something if people would want that.
Sounds good. I'm just laughing, dude. An unsupervised 7-year-old. So wife had to go to the store real quick because we got a couple of our friends are coming over later on for a cookout.
Okay.
So I go in the house during the break looking for him. Okay, he is sitting at our in black folks' house sometimes you got your good dining room where nobody sits in there until. You know, maybe Thanksgiving or Christmas. That's when you pull out the good china and let everybody sit down in there. Little man is sitting at the good table with a bucket of ice cream, eating it out the bucket. Like, ain't nothing wrong. Like, if you don't get your little out of here before she come home and punching you, just sitting there with a tub of ice cream in the good dining room.
God, Sam's is the best, man. What an awesome kid.
Ain't got no bowl or nothing, just spoon and a bucket of ice cream.
And I bet it was all on his shirt. If he even had a shirt on, I bet it was all on his shirt.
Dude, I had to go clean the guy. Because it's glass surface. So I'm like, well, get out of here for this woman. Come home. And you were sitting here with this bucket of ice cream sitting at her good dining room table.
What kind of ice cream was it, by the way?
Vanilla. He'll eat vanilla ice cream.
Delicious. All right. We'll get to an AMA at 140, by the way. We don't have any questions yet, so send your AMA questions in. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929, at RandyMac81, at Wendy Radio, or at Brian_Gebhardt. And we'll get back into some of what Thomas Dimitroff had to say to us in the 11 o'clock hour as well. But let's fire through these cards, Randy, see if we can't find ourselves a Randy McMichael Dolphins card. Number one is not Randy. Clinton Portis. Okay. That's a good one, though.
Oh, my God, man. Me and Clinton, we came out the same year, had the same agent here in out of Atlanta, David Ware, came in and went on, Denver and went on a tear back-to-back 1,500-yard rushing seasons. And then a lot of people thought it was because of the system. Because you remember earlier, it was Orlando's Gary, Mike Anderson. Mm-hmm. All these guys ran for big numbers. And then Clinton wanted to break the bank. And they were like, and they traded him for damn Champ Bailey straight up.
It's a pretty solid trade.
Yeah. Clinton, wild boy.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of other good stories in there, too. Yeah, probably not, man, appropriate for the radio.
Yeah, man.
Card number two is a number 81. Card number two is a number 81 who did catch touchdowns in the NFL, but it's not you. It's Amani Toomer. Good player, too.
I thought he was a good player. I mean, we know BG loves him because he's a giant and everything. Yeah. Amani was he was a good player, man. He don't get the accolades and all that because he was never a superstar, but he was real solid, especially – You know, when Eli first came in, man, he was able to rely on him and everything.
I guess one thing I did, because yesterday you had two former teammates that we drew cards of, right? And there was two University of Washington football players.
Right.
So maybe that'll be like how I try to compete with you in this situation. More UW players or former teammates of Randy, because obviously, All right, card number three, Mike Doss.
Mike was a safety for the Colts.
Yeah, Mike Doss, rookie card, by the way. Maybe some value on this one.
Yeah. Mike called me out one game.
What?
Mike was feeling himself when played Indy one time. Oh, he just called me out.
What did he say?
Oh, that he was going to basically shut me down.
How'd that go for him?
It didn't go well for him, Andy.
What did the numbers look like?
I think I had six for like 84 in the tug. Oh, no, I didn't get a tug. I didn't get a tug. I got tackled at the two. And then, Sammy Morris jumped over the pile.
Okay. Did you tell Mike Doss about this during the game?
Of course. I was cooking him. I was cooking Mike. But then what happened was what always happens, we're driving in for the go-ahead touchdown. We're driving late in the fourth quarter. And that damn Dwight, we had a rookie left tackle. And that damn Dwight Freeney came off that corner, Andy. He damn near killed Brian Greasy. That spin move, he tossed our tackle to the left. He spit up under and damn near killed Brian Greasy. The ball went flying. They recovered it. Peyton, man, we couldn't stop Peyton that day, man. Peyton was on.
A lot of people had that experience with Peyton Manning. By the way, Peyton Manning this weekend and Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, and Phil Mickelson playing a match play event. That's going to be so fun. Brian Greasy was a card we pulled yesterday, by the way, which is crazy. All right, card number four, another rookie card, Nick Barnett, linebacker, Green Bay Packers.
Nick was a good player. Nick was a good cover player, man. He's a really good linebacker. When they had him and AJ Hawk together, good player. Where'd he go to school at? Nick went to Cal. He's a Cal guy.
Oregon State. He's Oregon, an Oregon guy. State okay. Beaver. Okay. By the way, Randy, guy. 6 for 88 in that game. 6 for 88 on Mike Doss.
6 for 88.
After
okay.
He tried to call you out. Yeah.
6 for 88.
Do that again.
Yeah.
All right. Card number three. Ooh, quarterback David Carr. This is actually card number five. My bad. Card number five. David Carr, quarterback, Texans. Yeah, maybe. I mean,
no, I don't like. I don't like him now.
Okay,
I don't like him now.
I feel bad about his situation.
I feel bad for his poor situation because he got killed. He got killed.
He set the record for getting sacked.
Like he got obliterated, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even funny, man. How they
now he's on TV giving hot takes, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't like his hot takes that much.
Yeah.
Card number six, another non-Randy McMichael athlete, Tommy Maddox, quarterback, Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a backup for a long time.
Tommy was a long-time backup, and then Tommy gets his opportunity, plays well in Pittsburgh, but he does the ultimate thing, got hurt.
Yep.
And then after that, Big Ben comes in, it's a wrap. But another then what Tommy was in that first XFL, right?
I think that's right. Because he didn't play in the NFL for 4 years. Between 96 and 2000, he came back and played 2 years for the Steelers in 01 and 02. Card number, what is this, six? Brad Johnson, another quarterback. Super Bowl champion, Brad Johnson.
Super Bowl champion, Brad Johnson. You can say what you want. Brad got a Super Bowl.
He's from Marietta. Did you know that?
I did not know that, Andy.
Or at least he was born in Marietta. I don't know if he grew up there or not, but he's from Marietta.
No, but Brad Johnson, Brad Johnson was just, he had some good years. Played well when he was in Minnesota. And then, of course, you know, because Gruden, I mean, that's the knock on Gruden is that has he ever done it with a young quarterback? And so he got Brad Johnson down there. Brad didn't lose it for him. I mean, I think that was the biggest thing for them is that he didn't lose it. And they had three Hall of Famers on the defense.
Card number 7, another quarterback, and I think a former teammate of yours. I could be wrong. Chad Pennington.
No, I left before Chad got there.
Okay.
Yeah, because Chad was Chad came a year after, 2 years after I was down there, and Chad was ultimate leader, ultimate gamer. So give us fits when he played the Jets. Couldn't throw the ball, but it got even worse when he had them shoulder surgery. But just knew how to just play the game at quarterback. Andy, he couldn't make all the throws, but he made the throw when he needed to make it, man. But I mean, that was like the soft toss ball. But he had to get. That's the only way he could throw the ball and to win. But he won comeback player of the year twice.
Yeah, and I think he still has the NFL single season record for completion percentage. His completion percentage was unbelievable.
Yeah, because it was like a shot put throw, and it wasn't going too far. They didn't run deep routes, but when he had to throw the ball down the field, he just knew when to let it go and let you run up under it.
Card 8, another quarterback. I don't think either one of us know much about this guy, Tom Brady, so we're good. Probably not have to say much about Tom Brady. You want to say anything about Tom Brady?
Huh? No.
Yeah, we're good. Tom Brady's playing golf this weekend, by the way. Yeah, he's really good. Card 9, Javon Kurse. He was pretty good. They called him the freak.
Bruh. Dude, and that's exactly what he was, man. That guy was so special. Only thing that ever hurt Vaughn couldn't stay healthy, man. And then when he started having them lower leg injuries, it robbed him. But, dude, when he was in damn Tennessee, he was a straight problem. And then, you know, he signed that big deal to go to Philly. And he just stayed hurt that whole time. But, dude, when he came off that deck, because he played the left defensive end because he went against the right tackle. And we played – oh, man, he gave way. I was like, damn, Wade, you need some help. Because, dude, he was a beast.
Okay, so this is the 10th card. This is the final one. And we were going to try to get to Thomas Dimitroff, but I don't think we're going to be able to because I do know this is a former teammate of yours, Junior Seau. Okay. Now, we did not get a Randy McMichael card again, so we're 0 for 10 2 days in a row. But Junior Seau was a pretty close friend of yours.
Yeah, one of the best ever, man. You know, best teammates. One of the guys, and it's funny, we were listening to music outside, and that song, Feel the Chant Now, came on, and Sean Paul. And so it was a song that Junior played. Andy, Junior played that song 20 times a day. I swear to you, in the locker room, in the training room, in the weight room, all day. That it got to a point where Sean Paul made him a version of it, putting Junior in it.
Really?
And so that, yes, he made a song because, like, in Miami, whenever you make a big play or something, they had like a highlight come up and you had your own theme song or whatever, right? And so, because Junior listened to it all the time, they got hold of Sean Paul, and Sean Paul actually made a song for him using that tone or whatever. But dude, but then when I got to San Diego and they were asking me about questions, we were reminiscing about Junior. And they were like, yeah, he did the same damn thing here. It's like all day long, the same song all over again, all day and everything. One of the great ones, man. And, you know, and they always say, where were you when that happened? I remember being at home, just get off, just, you know.
How'd you find out? TV?
I was at home. I just got home and looked at the news, and they were like, what? Oh, hold on. Yeah. So I called James Collins, who was the head trainer when Junior was there. And the one thing Junior did was Junior never let his teammates know he was hurt. So Junior would make James get to the building at 4 o'clock in the morning so he can get there and get his rehab and everything in before the teammates got there so they wouldn't see him. So, you know, so they wouldn't see him getting treatment and everything.
Right, because he wants to be Superman.
Yeah, so and that's what we would do. And I called James, and James was like, yeah, I just heard it. We know something. We'll get back to y'all. And then we found out maybe an hour later, and they confirmed it was Junior.
Crazy.
But that was a rough day. But yeah, one of the best teammates would always go with his damn gut. He'll leave. He left Channing. He left Zach hanging quite a few times. I felt something. Junior thought I had it back in the flat. Junior dragged there trying to sack the quarterback. The back and ran for 40 yards.
Sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't.
Yeah.
Junior Seau led the NFL in solo tackles 4 different times. Led the NFL in tackles in 1994 when they went to the Super Bowl. 155 tackles that year. And he's in the Hall of Fame. Damn good player, man. What was your highlight? What was your song they played when they showed your highlights?
I was Little Scrappy, No Problems.
That's awesome.
And then it was the other one was A-Town Stomp with the Young Bloods.
Also awesome.
And they had it right there at the I was a cool cat. Then you know who came in and shut all that down?
Who? Nick Saban.
Nick Saban.
Yeah, I bet he did. All right. Well, we'll try to find a Randy McMichael card again tomorrow. We're 0 for 20 at this point. Some damn good players today, though. Speaking of damn good, we'll come back and get to some Brian Gebhardt questions after this, including what we learned from Thomas Dimitroff earlier today when we had a chance to talk to him. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app.
Yeah, yo.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. 20 minutes away from what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. At 1:20, because we didn't get a chance to do it at 11:40 because we were talking to Thomas Dimitroff, we'll get to the Wendy Zone, a belated Wendy Zone in the 1 o'clock hour, which is fun. There's probably some 1 o'clock hour listeners that are like, oh, I always hear about this great Wendy Zone. I never get to listen to it live. Well, that changes today.
Dude, can you imagine, after I would like make a big player score a touchdown, I would get up and do the A-Town Stomp.
I did a lot of
A-Town Stomp that day on Mike Doss.
Yeah, eight of them. Yeah. Or six of them for 88 yards. Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. Mike Doss.
And that's what I told him. I said, man, bring you over here, man.
That's awesome. God, that's got to be one of the best feelings in the world.
I remember him. I kid out of Ohio State. I was like, who? They were like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, I didn't read the paper. So, you know, one of y'all media guys had to come tell me. And I was like,
that media guy loves to do that.
Yeah,
the media guy, like a poster, or what is it called? Bulletin board snitch guy. Oh yeah, we love to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So they told me,
what do you make of Mike Doss's comments?
What do you make of Mike Doss's comment? I was like, what happened?
What did he say?
He said he was gonna. They said that he said that he was gonna pretty much guard you man to man and take you out. I was like, oh, okay.
What did you refer? Is can you tell on the radio what you referred to him as that day? Like, were there words that you can say on the radio?
Oh, I called him one of the most disrespectful words, the B.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah, but I put the N word at the end of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he really had a bad day. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was back in my younger day. I was 25 years old, man. I ain't know no better. I would never call somebody that nowadays. But then I was brash and give nothing, and I told him. I was like, okay, B.
Yeah, well, you gave him 6 for 88 also. We'll also get to an AMA coming up in an hour from right now. So get your questions in. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line or on Twitter. We will answer your questions 1 hour from right now. Let's get to some other questions with Brian.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. ESOG now. Hey, Gabby.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Gab? How we doing? Poor Mike Doss out there.
Poor Mike Doss.
Just shedding some tears. Yeah. Although it sounded like he deserved everything he got that day.
Oh, yeah. And he wasn't even that good. He was high. He was because he's an Ohio State dude. He was so hyped coming out. He's all right.
Yeah, one of those Ohio State DBs that thinks they're everything.
Yeah.
One of those guys.
Yeah, he's all right. I cooked him. I toasted him. I grilled him just like I'm about to put these hands on this damn grill. Punk.
Man, cooked them like hens. all right, so we had Thomas Dimitroff on last hour. A lot of conversation over the last few weeks about Todd Gurley's health, the potential touch count he might have. Dirk Cutter spoke to the media a couple days ago as well. You guys asked him an hour ago about how much he thinks about Todd Gurley's health. I want you to hear about what he said and react to it.
Whether I'm talking to his his agents, or I'm talking to our athletic performance people, it'll come up and we will discuss it. It's not something that I go to sleep at night restless over at all. Contrary to what Dirk said, I said what I said at the very beginning of this, as well as Dan. We have all the information that we need to date, short of us being able to put our hands on Todd. And when we're able to do that, it will, confirm everything and finalize everything. But as I mentioned to you all, I am very comfortable with the information that we have at this point. We had a lot of information. It wasn't like we randomly just approached Todd Gurley for a deal here and didn't know the background. We have all the information that we need, and through the Rams and such, and we know where we are with that. It's just a matter of our final stages of the physical, and hopefully that'll come soon.
Before I put my media guy fingerprints all over that, Randy, What did you make of Thomas Dimitroff's reaction right there?
Nothing at all. Just like really, I didn't make anything. Just like I didn't make anything about Dirk Cutter's thing. I didn't go running with. Oh my God! Did you hear what Dirk Cutter said about Todd Gurley? Didn't make think a big deal of it. I don't think this whole what Thomas just said, because I know where you're going, media guy. I know where you're going. Okay. Oh no, Hayden Hurst is on TV. I know where you're going. Okay. And you can have it, media guy, because I'm not going right. to go there.
Well, then
go ahead and dissect. Break it down for me. Break it down for me, Andy.
Well, I'm not going to break it down. I'm just going to tell you what I thought I heard. I'm not like I'm Thomas Dimitroff's best friend or anything like that.
Come on, Andy.
But that sounded like a guy who wasn't like super excited about the way that his offensive coordinator talked about his free agent acquisition.
You could be right.
Running back. It didn't.
You could be right.
Thomas Dimitroff, contrary to what Dirk said, and then he goes back to telling us what I said from the very beginning. I don't know. That sounded to me like Thomas Dimitroff heard what Dirk Cutter said and said, come on, Dirk. We have the information that we have, man. We're going to get our hands on him when we get our hands on him.
But Dirk didn't say anything wrong.
He didn't. He didn't. I'm not saying Dirk said anything wrong. I'm just saying back to the reason why people reacted the way they did to what Dirk Cutter said was because Dirk Cutter spoke his mind on a topic that not everybody, we're speaking our minds on, but we don't often hear coaches from staffs that have guys with injury history speak their minds on. And I don't know, he kind of called into question at least a little bit the information that we got from Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. They said they're not worried about it. They have the information that they need. Dirk Cutter said
that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Did Dirk say he's worried?
He said we're concerned. He said just like everybody is.
What's next, Brian?
Oh, you want another Todd Gurley question?
Not really.
Okay, I have one here for you.
Am I crazy on this? It just didn't sound like he was all that excited about what Dirk Cutter said.
No, you're definitely not crazy at all.
Andy, I heard what you heard, but, you know, maybe I'm a media guy as well.
We media guys stick together, then.
Randy hears things that people don't hear. We hear what was actually said, you know?
Yeah.
All right. How many touches a game do you think Gurley will get, and how many touches a game do you think he should get?
I think he'll get somewhere between 15 to 18 carries a game. Touches a game.
Yeah, on average.
On average, probably.
Yeah,
I think that's where he needs to be.
Yeah, I think there'll be some weeks where Todd Gurley runs the ball 19 times and has 7 catches. I think there'll be some weeks where Todd Gurley runs the ball 9 times and has 2 catches. Like, I think it's going to be a week-by-week thing. What I don't think is that they're going to go into every single game like you do when you have Todd Gurley 3-4 years ago and say, we got to attack this team by getting Todd Gurley the ball early and often. I just don't think that that's going to be how they treat him, because I don't think that they can treat him that way. But I do think that there will be weeks where Todd Gurley is a huge part of the offense. I think there'll be weeks where he's less of a part of the offense.
I agree. But
what I don't think is that Dirk Cutter knows exactly how he's going to use him, because he doesn't know how healthy he is. That's what I think, too.
There you go. Good one.
These are the things that I think. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. All the news, a lot of stuff happened in college football yesterday as well as the NBA. So get back to that right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.